Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the Mike Broomhead Show. All eyes in Arizona are on this audit, especially now as things are winding up. The Senate had said a week or so ago that they may have to go to court to try to get some other things from the county, and they have. They have issued, I don't know if they've gone to court, but they have issued another subpoena of the County Board of Supervisors. Joining us right now is Supervisor Bill Gates. Mr. Gates, thanks for coming back on the show again. Let's start with the items that are in this subpoena. Can you give us a list of some of the things that the county is asking for, or I'm sorry, the state is asking for?
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show again. They're asking for the routers, which there's been a lot of discussion about. In fact, the former president mentioned it in his speech on Saturday. Some of the passwords to the election machines. Again, that's something that we've heard about. Some other voter registration type of information, and then the ballot envelopes for the people who chose to vote by mail from the November general election.
Let's stick with a couple of the important ones. Let's start with the passwords to the machines. Now, I've been told, and I don't know if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, does the County Board of Supervisors have those passwords, or is that Dominion that has those passwords?
So we have the passwords that we use, that the Elections Department uses to operate the machinery, and those have been turned over. However, there are passwords to the source code. So that's actually, the internal workings of the machine, those passwords Dominion has. So we don't have those to turn over. By the way, Mike, I would mention that the Arizona State Senate also sent a subpoena to Dominion. And this is the first time they've done that, seeking the passwords.
And so let's talk about the other one, and that is the routers. Are you going to resist this? How far will you go in resistance to this based on what your web people have said, and or are you going to turn those over?
Well, Mike, as we've done throughout this process, I'm really proud to be a part of this Board of Supervisors because we get in these requests, we deal with issues, and we dealt with a lot in the last couple of years, and we meet as a group and we deliberate. We receive legal advice when appropriate. And so I'm sure that's what we're going to do here as well. Before we make a final decision on what we turn over and what we don't. But the bottom line is we've been incredibly transparent in this, turned over unbelievable amount of information. But if there's a determination that turning over these routers is going to threaten the safety of law enforcement, and that it would be turning over personal information, as one supervisor, that's where I draw the line.
Let's talk for a moment about the Senator Fan saying that she wanted you to help explain some of the anomalies. And some of the anomalies they listed, the 74,000 votes, people added to the voter rolls, things of that nature. Have you gone through that list of things that were inside, that were in that hearing? And is there going to be an official reply of explanation from the county?
Well, if, by an official reply, you mean a letter or something like that. I'm not sure at this point, but what I would encourage all your listeners to do is to go to justthefacts.vote, which is a website that we recently set up, and it goes through and addresses many of those false statements, falsehoods that were raised in that Senate hearing a couple weeks ago. So I think if you go through that, I think if your listeners go through that, it's going to clear up a lot of these statements that were simply false. And if you go back to that hearing and look at it, they weren't even, Doug Logan and others, they weren't saying these things with certainty. They would just throw these statements out and go, I don't know, I'm not sure. And that is so irresponsible. I mean, we were assured months ago by President Fan that they wouldn't be trickling out information or half-truths or sort of, half-baked information. But that's exactly what they did in that hearing. And unfortunately, the former president then took a lot of those statements from the hearing and then, and then repeated them as facts to the folks that attended his rally on a Saturday.
Do you think, when talking specifically about those 74,000, what they were calling phantom ballots, Even Ken Bennett, the liaison, has explained that away and defended and said you shouldn't call them phantom ballots. That's not what they are. Do you agree with Mr. Bennett, and do you have any opinion on him being kind of locked out of this?
Yeah, no, I've known Ken Bennett for many years, and I give him great credit for walking back that information, which, you know, is simply false. And anyone with any knowledge of elections in Arizona would know that that was false. But I think people should be very concerned about the fact that Ken Bennett has been locked out. This is a former Arizona Secretary of State, former Arizona Senate President, who has been locked out for, the way I see it, for asking for more transparency. But, you know, transparency is exactly what we need. It is a fact that there are a lot of people in our state who have concerns about the accuracy of our elections. And that's because, unfortunately, other leaders in my party have spread these falsehoods, or they haven't spoken up against them. I am so incredibly proud of Ken Bennett for raising the fact that we need more transparency here. Unfortunately, we've seen how the Senate has reacted to that.
County Board of Supervisors member Bill Gates joins us. When you look at, I had an unnamed source, I will say, at the county that said that and tell me if you agree with this statement, that you have given over all of the ballots to this audit, that if anything they were going to find, they could find in the actual ballots themselves. So why are they on this fishing expedition for other things? Do you agree with that statement, or do you understand why they want more information?
No, I mean, I agree with that. I believe that we've been responsive. They have everything that they need. Unfortunately, the Senate they chose these auditors, the cyber ninjas. They chose someone who didn't have experience with elections. And I think that's why you have these basic misunderstandings. And they could have chosen someone else. They made this choice. They could have relied upon the two audits that we conducted, that were conducted by experts in election technology, but they chose not to. They chose to go out and select a group, inexperienced, clearly a partisan group with preconceived notions. And that's where we're at right now. We're now, you have senators now, seems like almost on a daily basis, who voted, even some who voted to hold us in contempt, who are now saying they no longer support this audit. It's crumbling. Their effort is crumbling. And so they're trying to get the attention off of that by sending this subpoena to the Board of Supervisors.
I think we have talked about this before, but I want to ask you again. Would the County Board of Supervisors been more likely or more cooperative had they hired a different company than the cyber ninjas and the subcontractors they've brought in?
Yes, we made that clear to them that if it was a certified team, a team that would not lead to unfortunately, these machines being trashed, which you know about and your listeners know about, at a cost of $2.8 million to Maricopa County taxpayers. Yes, we would have looked at it in a different way. But this was the route that they chose to follow. And so now we're all having to pay a price for that.
All right, last question then. Is there a timeline for a response from you on what you will give them and what you won't? And then do you have an idea of what will happen next if you don't give up the routers? Is that going to end up back in court?
So the subpoena we received yesterday requires us to respond by August 2nd, next Monday. So we will respond in some way. I believe that that will be the case. And let them know, if there are things that are reasonable requests that we're willing to turn over and those that we are not. At that point, in my opinion, the judge in this case spoke very clearly, and this is an important distinction. He said that the Arizona Senate, that these were valid subpoenas, okay? He did not issue a court order requiring us to turn them over. He said they were valid. So it is up to the Senate how they are going to choose to pursue this. If they go back to court, I would never try and guess what a judge was going to rule, but I imagine the judge would say, yeah, I said, you guys, the ball's in your court. You've got to determine how to get these documents and other materials from the Board of Supervisors. So, it's time to wrap this up. Let's be done with this. This is a distraction from the important work that all the elected officials are doing in Arizona. Unfortunately, it's been shown to be a farce, and a grift. And so let's move forward and let's do the people's business.
Well, Mr. Gates, I appreciate the time as always, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is Bill Gates, County Board of Supervisors, pretty clear on what they're doing. They will have a response by next week. And this is one of the things they're balking at is giving over. They're going to wait and hear what their experts say about giving over the routers. In a moment, little reaction to some of this, what we just talked about, and this all-important topic of these audits. That's all coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. A thank you to Bill Gates and the County Board of Supervisors. Again, we're trying to get all these voices on so you can make up your own mind. Obviously, I've been critical of the direction this has taken from very shortly into it, what's happened with this company called the Cyber Ninjas. And I want to be clear, we've heard every time I mention them that someone from inside the audit, whether it's Senate President Fan or somebody else, is reiterated there are other subcontractors that are working on this project. And I understand that. The head of that is the Cyber Ninjas, but also I will throw in there the other subcontractors they've brought in with them. That part of the audit is over. The county is doing their own, which I understand is going to be done probably tomorrow. They will be returning all of the ballots back to the county very soon, but they are asking for more things, for envelopes and for other things. And what they're going to do with those forensically, who knows? And this is carrying on much longer than most people ever wanted it to. My concerns are coming to fruition. I didn't want to be right about this, but I see the direction this is taking. The blame game is already happening. The insinuations of hiding things are already happening. The idea of the question, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you worried about, is a scary question. I've used the analogy before and it fits. There is no one, I don't think there's anyone in town for sure that is more pro-law enforcement than I am. I am unapologetically pro-cop. I think it's a thankless job. If I were pulled over and an officer asked me to voluntarily let him or her search my vehicle, I'd want a reason. And if the reason was, and this has happened to me, this actually happened to me when I was much younger in Florida, they said we just had an armed robbery and the vehicle that was leaving the scene matches the description of your truck. So I said, absolutely, clear me as a suspect and go catch the real guy. I had no problem with that search. If the answer from a law enforcement officer is, if you've got nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about, I'm going to tell you, go fish in another pond. Don't come fishing here. I have the right to, you can't have illegal search and seizure. So when you hear from proponents and supporters of the audit that are now saying, if you've got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? That's absolutely a farce. And I will tell you why that's such a problem for me. If this were the other side, and I try to be as open-minded as I can, and I'm not perfect at it. I have a lot of biases as well. But if I were looking at this on the other side, and I've had the Secretary of State on a number of times on this show. She is a staunch Democrat. We disagree in policy on most things. I would say almost everything. But she's been very honest about things on the show as far as the audit goes. And I don't mind using her as an example. Her name is Katie Hobbs. If Ms. Hobbs were running this audit on behalf of Joe Biden losing this election, and she had the excuse of saying, we went to the county and we want all of this stuff. And the reason is, if you got nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. We as conservatives would lose our minds that they were doing that. If Katie Hobbs allowed Michael Moore to come in and do a documentary about the audit, we would lose our minds about how biased that is and how ridiculous in the middle of an audit you are. Not only are you allowing these documentarians in to use you as an example of a stolen election, but the person that's running the audit for you months earlier had done an interview that was used in that expressly for and in that documentary. We would lose our minds, and rightfully so. So I'm not demonizing the people that are involved. I'm saying I can see why independent voters, the people that may be convinced something was done wrong in this election, won't be convinced by anything. This audit has gone so sideways. And by the way, this transparency argument, I want to make one more statement about that. The transparency argument from the audit saying they need to be more transparent. What are they hiding at the county? Why are they hiding this? Let's remember that a judge recently chastised the auditors for their lack of transparency and ordered that financial information, who's paying for this, how you did things, those documents must be made public. They tried to hide them from the public. Now, you can't complain about transparency, and what do you have to worry about, and what do you have to hide when you have a judge forcing you to put out documents that you didn't want to? That's not transparent. And that's my issue here. It's the appearance of impropriety. Whether it was done improperly or not, the perception is there. And it's a real perception. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's not media driven. I'm not part of the problem. I'm reflecting what everybody sees. I am not dictating what people see. You know, and if you go and look what they've done with the media, you know, you've got the people they like are down on the floor. You've got video from One America News is the only company that has the feed for it. Everybody else is kept a mile high, almost looking down with binoculars. Limited access to people. They've been shunned by people. So, you know, again, the appearance of what's happening here, and that's my problem with this. Good people at the top of this that I have a lot of respect for. I'm not accusing them of wrongdoing. The appearance here is not good. It just isn't. And I think people have to wake up and realize that. Coming up in a moment, wettest July we've had in almost a decade. There's also a story to go with that that's going to make you laugh because it's very, very, very typical. I'll get to it in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again. Appreciate you being here. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. Interesting topic. I saw this story this morning. Here, KTAR.com, you can find it. Stormy weekend propels Phoenix to the wettest July in 8 years. 8 years. So the Valley has seen a huge downpour, and you heard one commentator during the news today saying that we couldn't have asked for a better type of rainfall. Yes, we did get some storms that dumped a lot of rain, but it was, you know, a day and a half worth of continuous rain that really has helped the Valley, and it has not stopped the drought that we are in, but it has put a dent in it. It is, you know, and so that is a very good thing, especially since we're expecting to get more and more rain. Well, they maybe should have waited a week or so before they had made the announcement, but here's the headline. Arizona is bracing for a historic water shortage. Here's where water rates are rising and by how much. And it is interesting to me how raising the water rates seem to stop the drought. Very strange. The Phoenix City Council in March approved a 6.5% increase over the next 2 years. Cost will increase $2.40 per month for the average residential water user. I love the way they do this. It's that incrementally, you know, how do you boil a frog? You know, you slowly turn up the heat. And in this case, it's interesting. Oh, it's only $240. Well, times how many people, and then over a certain amount of time, again, it's just another increase in cost. Glendale is going up 4.3% for 2022. Peoria, 2.75%. Tempe Leaders in late 2020 approved a 5.9% increase. Scottsdale, 3% increase. Cities all over the valley. Gilbert is conducting a rate study to determine if rate increases are necessary. Surprise Leaders are not considering a water rate increase. Avondale is considering a water rate increase and will host a meeting on August 23rd. Goodyear approved a 5-year plan that cut rates for water, wastewater, sanitation, and stormwater by 3.29% and will increase them by 4.09% in 2022. So when you look at this, it's an interesting study to me. I don't know what the need for the increase is, but it seems like that's happening to everyone. The idea of tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich is one I've never been a big fan of. But when you see municipalities doing things with the necessities, the reason why inflation is hammering America right now is because it's on the goods and services that people need the most. When the grocery stores are saying – when the grocers are saying, hey, listen, this is a big issue. We are going to have to raise prices. Inflation on the goods and services, but especially in this case, the goods in which you need. These are not luxury items. These are the necessities like groceries and gasoline are going up so quickly, faster than we've seen in very recent history. Now, the White House replies that inflation is going to be short-lived. There's a lot of experts that disagree with that. But these rate increases are for everyone. Everybody's prices go up. And this is the part of it that I don't understand. The city of Phoenix, I think, is working on a $30 million surplus, and they're going to raise rates. The state of Arizona, and again, I don't want to get too political, but if you look who runs the city council, it is dominated by the left. And then you look at what happened at the state level. It is a Republican majority in the House, Republican majority in the Senate, and a Republican governor. What are they doing? Fighting for tax cuts. Why? They have a surplus of money. Who's fighting it? The Democrats. It should be spent here, spend it here, spend it here, take it here. They didn't want tax cuts. As a matter of fact, when, you know, I've had my rift with the Red for Ed people, one of the demands they made back in 2018, and they furthered that demand, is they don't want any tax cuts. Now, I don't know what organization, it doesn't matter who you represent, whether you're a police union, a firefighters union, you're a teacher organization, whoever you are. If you are fighting for your membership to get more of something, that's your job. That's what you do. But isn't it interesting when they go a step further and demand that there are no tax cuts? Why do they care if there are no tax cuts as long as they get what they want? So I don't understand the mindset, and I don't understand why we as citizens, I don't care where you are on the political spectrum, why when these things happen, we're on the downside, on the backside of COVID-19. Families and businesses are just now climbing out of COVID-19. And we are now, not only are we going to start taxing them more at the state level, not only are federal tax increases coming, not only is inflation causing our goods and services and necessities to go up, but now you've got cities across this valley that are going to tack onto that higher prices for the services like water and sewer and trash. This is the confusing thing to me in all of this. That at a time when every penny in a family counts, when we are going to see so many households uprooted and kicked out once the eviction moratorium is gone, and we're doing all of these things that is unceremoniously raising prices on everyone. And then what we are going to see, because there's an election year, which we're going to have an election to some degree coming up this year, but next year in the election year, every single person across the political spectrum is going to tell you how they are in favor of helping the working class. We're going to build the middle class, and then we're going to tax the hell out of them is what we're going to do. It's misinformation, and it's something that bothers me. You know, we're watching this happen right before our eyes. Again, I've been pretty, I've spent a lot of time in my life wondering how I was going to make ends meet. Whether it was when I was a little kid watching my mother do it or a time when I was by myself and, you know, in times of my life where money has been very difficult. So for me, the ability to pay my bills and pay them early every month, I look at paying my bills as a privilege. I really do. It's changed my outlook. When you are fearful of being able to cover your bills every month and you are just eking by writing those checks and paying on time and you're able to just barely keep your head above water. When you don't have to necessarily worry about that, when you feel like you're living within your means, it is a great feeling. It is a peaceful feeling, and I consider it a privilege. I genuinely do. But for families that are struggling, because I've been there, every one of these little increases takes a little bit more of the ability to cover that nut every month. And it just doesn't make, none of this makes sense to me post-COVID, when here we are again with they're talking about masks and talking about other things again. And on top of all of that, they are not slowing down on the increases. It doesn't make sense. In a moment, why was the Reverend Jesse Jackson in Phoenix yesterday? And what exactly happened while he was here? We'll talk about it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. Coming up just after 10 o'clock, we're going to talk local. Sports gaming or gambling here in Arizona is going to happen. Rules have been set in place. They are going to meet their September 9 goal of get rolled out before the Cardinals season begins. What will that look like? What is the pros and cons of that? And we're going to talk a little bit about the industry itself because it's going to be a lot of money and it's going to be a few changes. I don't know how noticeable to some people, but a few changes being made here in the state of Arizona. So all that's coming up just after 10. But first, yesterday, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was in town. He may still be here. But Jesse Jackson was in town. And it's very odd when I talk about civil rights leaders because I have been a student of the civil rights movement from when I was a very young boy, I think. Growing up where I did and growing up in the South, I grew up in a great place. I don't want to diminish or demean the place I grew up. I think Southwest Florida was a great place for a kid to grow up. My nieces and my nephew, my nieces and my nephew are great kids growing up in a great environment. My brothers, we grew up in a great environment. But there's no doubt that in the late 1970s, there was still a lot of the racial issues that were going on back then. It was a different time. And I became a student of the civil rights movement because it always confused me. I was always confused by that era in our country. Because it seemed so anti-American that anybody wasn't created equal, that we were all created equal, and yet we had a segment of our society that wasn't, that there was a segment of our society that was seen as unequal, that was seen as less than. And that was rectified, getting rid of Jim Crow laws. So it was rectified legally, but the residual effects and the differences in races were something that was really something I was very compelled to study. And the death of Martin Luther King Jr., the death of Medgar Evers and many others, when you look back historically and you look at what happened and how the world changed when MLK was killed, and Jesse Jackson was right there. I mean, he was there when that happened. And I'm not a big fan of the direction his movement took, but that's my personal feelings. So he was here in town yesterday. And they were protesting the filibuster, and they went after Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema because she's against ending the filibuster. Now, what the filibuster does is it gives the minority party, and in this case, it's the Republicans, the ability to speak and to kill a bill based on wanting to have debate and having conversation and then being able to stop it from ever getting to the floor. Now, in both houses of Congress, it's not something that's done. In the House of Representatives, which is called the People's House, it is designed to be the way it is. I love the freak show, and I mean this affectionately, which I don't always am not affectionate about Congress, but I mean this affectionately about the House of Representatives. It is supposed to be the bar scene in Star Wars. It's supposed to be that. And it is each individual district is sending someone to represent them to Washington, D.C. in the legislative process. It's a very big body. And it only takes a simple majority. And in that simple majority, you win. If it's one vote out of all of those people, out of 435, one vote majority and you win. In the Senate, there are 100 senators, two from each state that have a vote. And you have to get a 60-vote majority on many things to get them through. But the filibuster is also a way for the minority party to have a voice and force negotiation. One of the things that happens without this is when you have a simple majority is the huge swings in what we have seen. George W. Bush left office and in came Barack Obama. And Barack Obama was, has said very vocally, I have a cell phone and a pen and I want to go work with Congress, but I'll go around them where I can and where I need to. Well, we're seeing now that it's taken this long, but the Dream Act is being deemed unconstitutional in many cases. A judge just said that, and the Dreamers are still left out there without legislation to fix anything. And then you see executive orders from Barack Obama changing the direction of this country in many, many ways. Well, in comes Donald Trump. And then you see executive orders swing the pendulum in the other direction in many, many, many ways. In comes Joe Biden, and we swing in the other direction, going in the opposite direction. And that gives a lot of power to the executive branch, which I think sometimes is too much power in the executive branch. With the filibuster in place, and by the way, the hypocrites that were screaming that this is like Jim Crow laws, first of all, have no sense of history about Jim Crow laws whatsoever. It is a talking point that they either know is ignorant and they're just doing it to be inflammatory, or they're actually ignorant that they don't know the history of Jim Crow laws, number one. But number two, the Democrats have used the filibuster for years as well. Every single one of those people now that are considering ending the filibuster have benefited from the filibuster. And it forces debate, and it forces both sides to work together to some degree so that something gets done. So that something gets done that's not going to be undone. So you imagine now that as much as they can, they're going to try to pass things. They end the filibuster. Most people are saying that the Republicans are going to take over the Senate in 2022. It's not a foregone conclusion, but there's a very good chance of it. So simple majority now, they go and they change things. So we go and fight over this. And Jesse Jackson gets detained and cited and released. All a game. All a game. It's all PR and it's all a game. And it's time we end the games. Let's get to some real solutions. Again, coming up just after 10 o'clock, we talk about sports gambling here in Arizona, how it's going to change things coming up in just a little over 2 months.